Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Welcome in to hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. As you can hear, Gavin Dawson is not here today because you're hearing my voice, Jeff Cavanaugh. There's Chris Arnold riding shotgun.
Got you down.
The great Brian Broaddus, of course, every day with us. And lucky Lucius P. is in the Pimp Cup. Welcome into the first hour on what I have declared the most New England Patriot Day of all time. What we have today, Cam Newton signing with the New England Patriots for an incentive-laden deal that maxes out at $7.5 million if he reaches everything, and they got busted for cheating. So it's like the most Patriot Day of all time. How are you today, Brian? Nice to see you.
Thank you. I'm doing well. Patriot Day. We kind of called this one, though, didn't we?
We
were kind of willing in team building that Cam Newton would end up in New England. We weren't buying that kid from Auburn. Stidham, we'd seen him play. You're not going anywhere with him at quarterback. I don't know why you thought you were. Cam Newton, I'm glad to see Cam Newton back in the league. You know, just so talented. You know, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Bill Belichick and those guys up there use him and use his talents to move that football.
On the most Patriot Day of all time, good afternoon to Chris Arnold. How are you today, sir?
Doing wonderful, Hef. Good seeing you again. Good seeing you, Brian, and, of course, Lucius Alexander. Yeah, this Cam Newton situation, we all kind of saw it coming. The question is, are they going to play to his strengths, or are they going to do what they normally do?
So, okay, here's step one on the Cam Newton to the Patriots. For me, step one is, if you think it's a bad fit, I don't think you know Bill Belichick. Where I saw Cowherd, I did not listen to him because I would never do that.
Cowherd!
Because I'm better than that. But I saw a clip on the interwebs where he's holding up these pieces of paper. He's like, 1991, this is what Bill Belichick wants at every position. And I'm like, well, that's a really weird thing to say about the most adaptable coach in the entire league, who clearly, since at least 2017, has had an affinity for Cam Newton through his own words. When Cam went out and beat him in 2013, Cam went out and beat him in 2017. And
absolutely,
before that 2017 matchup, Belichick was talking about Cam Newton's public enemy number one. That's the most dangerous guy in the league to try to defend. So I think, look, he was infatuated with Cam. And Brian, I believe you've said he's been infatuated with the mobile quarterback more than ever the last couple of years.
Absolutely. You know, and you look at what Cam Newton's done, you're right, Jeff, and, you know, Chris, 2-0 versus him, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception against him. You know, that if you go back and watch him play against New England, some incredible scrambles, moving in the pocket, mobility and all those things. And, you know, I still think that Cam Newton is very capable of still doing those types of things. But Belichick, you know, last year and talking to people at New England when we saw what Lamar Jackson did to him, and New England was on a run. They were undefeated. They, you know, the defense was number one in the league, and everybody was like saying, oh, here we go. Here go the Patriots. But then they, you know, they go meet Lamar Jackson, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, he's making my defense play slow. He's running around and doing things. He's throwing the ball effectively, you know. So all of a sudden now it's like, you know, what type of coach? And here's a coach that takes players and puts them in certain schemes and says, okay, do this for me. Do this for me. And adapts from series to series. And I just feel like, though, this is such a great fit for the Patriots that they could do things offensively. Josh McDaniels, if you look at his history, he had Tim Tebow at one time, had to kind of work around that guy. So, yeah, this is, to me, is one of those things where Bill Belichick, it's like, okay, now I've got my toy. Let's create some opportunities to make some other defenses have to play slow.
Okay, so we know Belichick is motivated. He wants to prove to all the naysayers that he can win without Brady. Brady wants to prove that he can win without Belichick. And we know that Cam's big issue is his health. Which Cam Newton are they going to get? Are they going to get the broken down Cam the last couple of years? Going to get the healthy Cam? So my question for you guys, because you guys study the tape all the time, how can they protect him? How good is the protection? And what kind of weapons will he be throwing to?
Oh, the weapons are terrible.
Yeah.
I think
Brady left.
Yeah. It's 34-year-old Julian Edelman. It's washed Mohamed Sanu. And it's first-round bust N'Keal Harry. That's their top three wide receivers. And I've never heard of either one of their top two tight ends. But I think with Belichick and Josh McDaniels, what they'll do is they'll make the best of what Cam can do. It'll go back to his health, like you mentioned, Chris, because you look back 2017, Cam Newton still made the postseason. He wasn't a bad quarterback. 2018, halfway through the season, Cam was playing really well, and they were on their way to a good season until the Pittsburgh game when he hurt his shoulder. He couldn't throw the rest of the year, but he went out there and he played. And now he's 9 months removed from the Lisfranc surgery on his foot. So if all of those things, and they say that he passed a physical, if all of those things are healthy, then the Patriots are going to get a steal here because Cam Newton can still play. It's not like we saw a guy that couldn't play anymore. We saw a guy that hurt his shoulder halfway through 2018, then didn't have a foot that he could run on. But, oh, they'll have so much fun. Remember when the Patriots had to play with Jacoby Brissett for a while?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josh McDaniels did a great job of coming up with the bootleg play action where there was real bootleg to get the quarterback out and running. Like, they'll find a way to make Cam Newton work from under center where you have the opportunity to do the bootleg stuff to get him moving and where you'll make him a threat again. And then maybe that's enough to make your wide receivers capable because your wide receivers aren't very good. Although Edelman's always good for a nice PED and up before the season.
Yeah.
So he could always, yeah, he
four
could.
Four game
he,
suspension there.
He could. And calling N'Keal Harry, their first round receiver, a bust is probably a little early, but I didn't think he was good in college, so I'm allowed to do that. So no, I don't think the weapons are good, but I think Cam, if he's healthy, with a creative offensive mind and with the greatest head coach in the history of the sport, they got a chance.
What about the line, though? He got protection. Because one thing about Brady, Brady's got one of the quickest releases. That was the deal about him. He was never getting sacked because he was getting rid of the ball.
Wynn, you know, they've still tried to figure out what Isaiah Wynn is, though.
Yeah.
You know, that he was banged up. And though, is it Tooney? Is I think I say it right, Tooney.
T-H-U-N-E-Y.
Yeah, Tooney. I always mess up his name. I feel like, but yeah,
Tooney.
Yeah, you know they've got some guys in place. You know, Cannon, Marcus Cannon was part of that group too. I mean, he's played in some big games. And, you know, it's one of those things. I would worry more about what's going on the outside at the skill positions than I would the offensive line, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I kind of feel like, though, that they will, like we were all talking about, they will find ways to take advantage. If it's moving the pocket, you know, putting him in that shotgun situation, letting him, you know, they might not want him to run every snap or do, you know, have those types of those plays. But his ability, if he's healthy, to escape, you know, that helps an offensive line right there. If you have that ability to buy a second or third chance in the pocket, and he could clearly do that. He's a hard guy to get to the ground, you know,
yeah,
with that
big
body mm-hmm. guy. So they'll figure out ways to kind of get the offense going around him.
Okay, now the second thing, this is why it's the most Patriots day of all time. Yes, Cam Newton is going to the Patriots, but, you know, that's just somewhat Patriots. But the most Patriots thing of all time is being punished for cheating. So the Patriots get busted for the cheating thing with they were at a Browns-Bengals game, and it was their website's camera crew
right.
or whatever that's up there, and they're filming, and they lie to the people in the booth about what they're filming, and the dude in the booth for the Browns is like, right, that's not what you're pointed at. And the guy's like, okay, all right, hey, you got me, hey, let's just hand over the tape and call it good. What do you say, huh? I just give you the tape, we pretend it never happened. The guy's like, no, that's not how this is going to go either.
Right.
And then Bill Belichick goes with the, I don't know anything about anything.
I don't know these people.
I don't know what you're even talking about. Well, the NFL is announcing that you did know what was going on, or the organization did, because you just got fined $1.1 million. You're losing a third-round pick. Senior club officials have required training on league operation and game policies. So what you're saying is that the senior officials have to educate themselves on the rule of the NFL. Do we think that Bill Belichick's team doesn't know the rules of how the NFL operates? No, we don't think that.
No.
He knows exactly how the NFL works.
Exactly.
He knows every rule, and they cheated again. And the most Patriots thing ever is that they waited until it was announced that they were being punished for cheating, and 16 minutes later announced they had signed Cam Newton to bury it. Because that's what they do, and the league doesn't mind. Brian, why does the league love the Patriots so much? Why could you be busted for Spygate, and then the second time you do it and you get busted again, the punishment
is... And Deflategate, don't forget about that too.
Right, and the punishment is less the second time around. What are we doing?
Yeah,
What are we doing?
Yeah, I think that the, you know, the Patriots,
I know you admire it.
I do admire. I admire any type of way that you can get an advantage up there, and more teams. I'll say this though: there's some teams out there. I even reached out. It's funny on Twitter. I reached out to Derek Eagleton. I said, "Well, the Patriots have now set the bar for your TV department, so go out there and beat him." And Derek kind of sent me back the laughing face. But yeah, you know, this is something that, you know, I'm sure there are things that. I'm trying to say this in all sincerity.
Nobody else gets caught. Don't you do the everybody's doing it thing.
Don't do it. I do believe there are things that teams do in the league.
But not that degree.
They just don't get caught as often. And
the Patriots keep getting caught?
Well, the Patriots need, you know, they need to figure things out a little bit better. You know, they have the deflate gate and the... But I'm sure there's a lot of other things that the Patriots have done that they haven't been caught, and it's probably helped them win some other games and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, these are things that we always – I call it gamesmanship. People out there are like, "Ah, Broadus, you're full of crap. It's not gamesmanship. That's just blatant cheating." But, you know, you're trying to figure ways out to get an edge. Even if you won as many Super Bowls as the Patriots have, you know, you're trying to figure out, okay, how do we get signals? You know, how do we – figure out what their game plan is? Are we checking their trash cans in their locker rooms after games? What are we doing?
They're doing all those things.
Yeah, you're doing all those things. You know, it's the whole thing of never leaving a stone unturned.
And you know what? It works for them. They like people thinking that they might be cheating on them because they get
their
minds.
Oh, they are cheating, Chris. Let's not be honest.
I'm just saying they look at that. That notion as a competitive advantage because it makes the other team think, "Oh God, we got to be careful about this because they're doing this." In fact, Peyton Manning used to say back in the day that they had cameras in the other team's locker room in the stadium in New England. And that was he would always say, "Okay, we're going to have our halftime conversations out in the hallway," because he didn't trust the locker room. Yeah. And that's a competitive advantage for the Patriots. To me, their biggest competitive advantage is not even on the books, and that's Ernie Adams, who is a Rain Man.
I'll tell you
explain what he's a card. It's just like the Rain Man in Vegas, all right?
But he's legit. Like, he's legit. A good advantage.
He is
He's a genius.
He's a genius, and you cannot legislate against him because he's a savant. But they don't mind other teams thinking that they're doing all these other things because it gets into their head.
Well, let's create doubt. Let's make you have to think that your headsets are bugged, and let's think your locker room is cameras in it, you know, and let's think the footballs are deflated. The Patriots do a great job of getting in your head. They really do.
In the grand scheme of things, aren't people going to remember, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I feel like they've won all the Super Bowls. Belichick's going to go down as the greatest coach of all time. Brady's going to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And largely the cheating scandals, which no other team has had over this run, but they've had three of them, are going to be ignored. There'll be a footnote.
Yeah, but...
That's insane!
When I first started in the league, the Raiders were another team that you always kind of had to watch. The Raiders with Al Davis, that was one. And this is now, I mean, the Patriots have taken it to a whole nother level.
Yes.
Which
they're sending people through the air vents to go retrieve footballs after they've been checked by officials so that they can get them deflated. And then their fan base is so delusional that they're like, "Check out this link that I found about the science that says that the ball was." And I'm like, "Forget about your stupid science link. How about the fact that you're stealing back footballs after they've been checked and you've got a dude named the deflator? What about that part?" And they're like, "Well, it's science. There's the air temp and the temperature outside plus the..." And I'm like, "No. Common sense. Occam's razor. Calm down."
Yeah. And notice none of their assistant coaches have success outside of that organization. Usually a great coach has a coaching tree. They have all these different guys that have learned under them. Belichick is the mastermind, and nobody's learned a damn thing under him. They just get the rings off of
him. Let me ask you boys this question. Would you give up a third round pick right now for a Super Bowl title?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, I say everything about this situation.
Would you pay a $1.1 million fine for a Super Bowl right now?
Me personally, no.
Jerry Jones would. I would let Jerry. Yeah.
Yes, I end all of that with, one, not nearly enough attention is paid to the fact that they have cheated their way to 6 Super Bowls. If you've been caught three times, how many times have you really cheated? The rest of the league has never been caught. Sean Payton got suspended a year for something he had nothing to do with.
Greg Williams.
And Belichick just cruises through. And Sean Payton had nothing to do with what he got suspended for. He just wasn't
plausible deniability, Jeff. That's what it is. That's what you have to do.
But how does Belichick have plausible deniability in any of this?
He does. Deny.
He does.
And I end that with, yes, I would want him to coach my team, and I would want him to. And on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053, the 469 says, why is Brian praising the Pats, but everyone was beating down the Astros when they got caught cheating?
He was defending
the Astros, too.
Oh,
Brian. He defends all the cheaters.
I defend people that try and win. That's my idea.
You say he ain't cheating, he ain't trying.
You know what? You got to come up with ideas. Trust me. I sat in many a room and tried to think of ways to make our team better and to maybe get an advantage. And the Patriots, the Astros are no different. You know, and again, they're not taking these championships away from them, are they, guys?
No.
They're not.
Finally, I would like to point out, have you guys seen the schedule rankings for the NFL this year and seen who has the hardest schedule? The Patriots have the hardest schedule this year for the first time in forever.
Mm-hmm.
They never had the hardest schedule. Like, Tom Brady has lived the most blessed.
Yeah, the AFC
the
East.
The most blessed normally. NFL experience. He got on the team that cheated. He always had an incompetent division with terrible quarterback play. And the year that he finally dips out, they're busted for cheating again, mm-hmm. and they get the hardest schedule in the NFL. Tom Brady has been so ridiculously blessed, it makes me sports hate him.
And his wife is beautiful, too. By the way, the over and under in Vegas for the Patriots going into this season is 8.5 wins. And with Cam added to it, the line is the same. It's still 8.5 wins.
Who wins the East, Brian? Who wins the AFC East? I'll still take Buffalo.
I think Buffalo, yes.
Cole Beasley. Buffalo.
Chris, Buffalo? Mm-hmm. No, we got no New England love, even with Cam. I could see it, but I won't
pick. If he was healthy, Cam, I can't. He's Sean Lee to me. I don't know if he's going to be healthy.
I think it's going to be a lot closer in that division, though. I really do. I worry about the lack of weapons at New England. That part of it I do. And I think they'll probably they'll make a move.
Y'all sleeping on Miami.
You might be right. Mm. Might be right.
Tua.
Good coach. Brian. Good coach down there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up next, we'll guess what day it is in sports history and have your G-Bag of the Day here in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. This segment is brought to you by Franklin Frankel. Have you been injured in an accident with a work truck or an 18-wheeler? Call 214-333-3333 or frankelfirm.com, Principal Office, Dallas, Texas. Congratulations to Dustin Johnson yesterday winning the Travelers Championship. Congratulations to Brendan Todd for golfing like me on the final day of the tournament. He's in the final grouping and fired off like a triple bogey where he couldn't chip or putt. It was incredible.
Isn't Dustin Johnson married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter?
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah. Is she still on Instagram? She's still doing her thing?
She's still doing her thing. Absolutely.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. And congratulations to Denny Hamlin. Watched him win at Pocono yesterday. Going zoom, zoom. I decided
Kevin Harvick got it on Saturday, too.
Yeah, I like Talladega better, I decided.
Yeah,
I like when they're all together mashing into each other at the finish line instead of just cruising to victory. Yeah, it's not as much fun.
This track is hard to watch because of it's shaped like a triangle, but it's so long around the straights. It used to have problems, guys, where in the corners, the curbs were kind of really sharp. So you'd have guys, like, cut tires. So you would have, like, problems with, tires going down. And then another thing that happens during those races, too, is fuel mileage comes into it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden you have, like, 3 or 4 guys leading the race and running out of gas.
I don't need that. I don't need us to be decided by gas. I need it to be decided by smashing into people, going 6 wide around the corner, and then 3. No flipping. I don't want anybody flipping.
No flipping.
Swap some paint. Just swap some paint.
But yeah, just mash into some things, spin around in circles, and then see who wins.
Well, that's a tough track to do that because the margin of victory is generally pretty big there in Pocono.
The G-Bag of the Day coming up for you here in about 6 minutes, but first, on this day in the history of sports world, I take you back to 1956, gentlemen.
All right.
On June 29th. American either Charles Dumas or Dumbass. I don't know how he pronounced it.
Did he win or lose?
He recorded the first high jump over 7 feet
during
the U.S. Olympic trials in L.A. You think it was Dumas?
Yeah, I knew a guy named Bill Dumas, but everybody called him Dumbass.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
Exactly. You had to live with that, right?
1957, U.S. Women's Golf Tournament at Winged Foot Golf Club.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Betsy Rawls won because old Jackie Pung, she got DQ'd for signing an incorrect scorecard kept by her playing partner, Betty Jamison. Must have been Jenna's mom.
She got screwed.
No one appeared to have a good tournament in 57 because it said old Jackie Pung was 6 over when she was DQ'd from winning. So Betsy was worse than 6 over and won the tournament. So let's get it together, guys. Let's play some better golf. Let's see. 1984, Oral Hershiser began his string of making every scheduled start that went all the way through 1990. Dodges. 7 years of never missing a start. Congrats.
I think Bassick said that's his favorite coach that was helping him pitch.
Should have told him to take steroids. He would have had a longer career.
For real.
1986, it was the FIFA World Cup final.
FIFA.
At Estadio Azteca in Mexico City.
100,000 people. 110,000.
114,600, Chris.
Look out.
Argentina took down West Germany 3-2. Congrats to Argentina in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
1990, Dave Stewart threw a no-hitter against the Blue Jays. Okay.
Oakland A's?
Yeah. Oakland A's.
Yeah, that happens. So Dave Stewart no hits the Blue Jays. And Fernando Valenzuela no hits the Cardinals.
Dodges.
On the same day.
First time
we had a no hitter in both leagues on the same day. 1994, the NBA draft. The first overall pick was the big dog, Glenn Robinson. First pick by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Purdue, right? Chris?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I'm not sure. I know it's definitely a Big Ten school.
Purdue.
Yeah,
very
he was
good.
Purdue.
Very okay,
good.
There we go.
And
his nephew lives down here in Dallas.
There are no other good events in sports history on this day, so I went to birthdays. It's Harmon Killebrew's birthday. I'd have to look up to see if he had a good run. I know that he is not with us anymore.
No, he had a good run.
He had a good run.
He was legendary up there in Minnesota with the Twins. Big time.
Age-wise, did he have a good run?
I would say.
Did he get up to 75 or more?
Oh, I don't know the age, but I would say his career was a good run.
Looks like his life was a good run. He went from 36 to 2011.
I'm looking at Lucius. Lucius, was that a good run?
Yeah, he had a good run.
You always got a thought
where'd
about
that. Where'd he end at? Where'd he end?
He went from 1936 to 2011.
I'm talking about where did he die?
Yeah.
Where?
70. Well, his age.
Oh, 36. He died at, he was 74. Right on the doorstep to having a good run.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
the career was a good run.
74? I'm pretty sure that man said, I'm going to see 75.
Yeah, that's the goal.
I'm going to see 75.
If he would have lived.
You're not going to take me on that strange number. I'm going to get a hood. I'm going to get a solid 75 out of this.
Yeah.
There you go.
If he would have lived another month and 12 days, he would have reached 75 had a good run. Instead, he just had an okay run and a great career.
There you go.
He ran out of gas.
Let me see here.
Okay.
Pepper Johnson is 56 today, the old linebacker for the Browns and the Giants.
He and I are the same age. Man, all right.
What are you thinking, Pepper Johnson's old or young?
No, I was thinking he was probably a little bit older than me. Maybe I need to tighten up a little bit here.
Oh, Brian.
Maybe I'm not having a good run. I don't know.
No, you're having a good run. You're on a good run.
Oh, Pepper Johnson. But he
you got good genes. You got another 40, 50 years left.
You're going to have a good run, Brian.
I told you guys, just push me in the lake if it gets bad.
Push you in the lake.
I'll do that.
Just like
what
Jeff,
age?
Just walk me down to the lake and say, hey, Brian, whoa, and just shove me in.
In a rowboat.
Push you off in a John boat with a hole in the middle.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, send me out there. Put the boat on fire or something like that.
Oh, not fire.
Well, you know, they did that.
Days of Thunder.
No, I was thinking of the
they've done
all those shows you watch, Jeff.
Yeah,
don't they do that?
That's what they do.
Oh, like Game of Thrones.
Don't they like make a like wood around you and push you out there and you just kind of burn up?
Yeah, they sure did.
Okay.
Martin Truex Jr. is 40 today.
Okay.
And Kawhi Leonard is 29.
Wow.
He's invincible.
Happened on this day in sports history. And now it is time for your G-bag of the day. And I have the worst memory of all time, so I could not tell you who the champion is, Lucius.
It was Mike Bacsik. Yeah, Mike Bacsik. Basically, the title, I titled it was, "We're Screwing This Up."
Okay.
Okay, that's straight from the words of Mike Bacsik. Hold on one second, brother. Gotta get myself together here, y'all.
Would you say you are zooming or booming?
Hyped and charged.
Okay.
Hyped and charged, zooming off the red ginseng. Mm. The wifey appreciates that, too. She appreciates it.
Oh, it's good for your...
Keep your energy levels up, brother.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I had a challenging workout today. I'm an old man. You know, I'm a man of a certain age now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So...
You take it in the tea form?
The ginseng helped me out a little bit. Yeah, I did the tea thing. I'm going to go by and see them on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Get my B12 shot. Get zooming off of the B12. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I finished a gallon of water.
Look out.
How about that?
Man, that's pretty impressive. All right.
Anyway, this is Mike Bacsik, and he's saying we're screwing up this mask situation. There will be a battle of masks because I did promise Gavin Dawson's clip.
Okay.
So we're gonna hear two battle of the mask, and you pick from there, all right?
Okay.
All right, here's Mikey.
I mean, here we are. We're effing this up good enough, people, that we're about to have no school again, and we're just gonna have our kids homeschool. And like we need to do whatever we can. It'll never be normal, by the way. I'm tired of being nice to the people that are like, masks are stupid and stuff. You're stupid. Okay. we're ruining things. We're ruining it. It's not going to be back to normal. It never will. People are going to have coronavirus in August and September, and people are going to be dying in August and September from coronavirus. But Ken, for the love of God, can you stop being your own one God person and just try to help out other people? And just for the time that you're outside of your home, put on a freaking mask and not go outside for no reason and not go to bars for no reason. Crap!
Yeah.
We're screwing everything up.
Okay.
This all balled up.
That's a good start. A one God person.
One God person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop being a one God person.
Yeah, really. Well, real quick for you. Speaking of, you were talking about rowing you out to the lake. We got a couple of Tolos, some G-Bag Nationals that said the Vikings, the ancient Vikings.
There you go.
No way. They used to put them out on a flaming boat.
There you go. That's a good way to go, Jeff. Remember that.
Yeah, that's Ned Stark's wife, his side of the family in Game of Thrones. That's how they got down, too. Push them out there, let the archer let the bow and arrow rip with it on fire. Yep.
How many bows and arrows do you think the situation acquires?
Well, I think you would have to be I think back in the day there were some really good marksmen with the bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. And if you missed, like, you were ashamed to yourself.
God, what if you miss? You know what I'm saying? I'm just out there now.
Lucius, don't say
that. Somebody's going to find me out there just rotting.
Yeah, all of a sudden, like, I'm floating away and you can't. Oh, bring it back. We can't reach him. Can't reach him.
I think there's 10 or 12 people behind you, cousins, that are like, hey, if he misses,
just get like a Roman candle and fire it at it or something like that. You know, yeah.
Who's our challengers?
We got this city councilman in Scottsdale City. He's apologizing for this rant about masks. There's a lot of masks.
I can't breathe.
Oh, no.
I can't breathe.
Oh. Went that route.
Insanity.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom, bro. I mean...
He's apologizing for that.
He apologized?
Keep the same energy, dog.
Just a little insensitive, maybe?
Saw the video. I saw the clip. He's a jackass.
Oh, no. Is he?
Yes.
All right.
I think everybody's suffering from COVID fatigue. 2020 has been a hell of a year.
Well, hey, we should have kept this energy that we have right now. We should have kept it at the beginning, and we'll be getting off the lockdown about now.
Thank
you. Getting to the barbecues.
Yeah, we'll be over the curve.
Trying to get nominated.
Yeah.
Shoot. Let's see what we got. I'll skip Dawson's for now. How about Sinbad? He's talking to the ladies about being direct with us, y'all.
Okay.
Be romantic. What does that mean? You got to be specific with a man. I don't even know what you're talking about. Be romantic. What? Fix the screen door? What? What do you want me to do? I want romance. I want romance. What? Hold your hand? What? Then say it. Look at your man. Hold my hand. Ah, I got it. Now you finally got what you're looking for. I want romance. Could you read those books? How to make love last forever. How to have romance forever. Too much work. Just say what you want. You got a man always forget your birthday? Forget that. Buy yourself a car. Look what you got me. He'll remember next year.
I'm going to tell y'all something.
I'll never forget your birthday again. That one cost me a lot of money.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I've learned over the years, most women think true love is if a guy can read her mind.
Oh, I'm awful.
I'm just saying. And most guys, they cannot read your mind, but they think that's true love if you know what they want.
That's why I put things in my girl's head. You know, I always keep that right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put things in her
mind. You're supposed to know me better.
Yeah, I did. I put that there. I'm the one that told you purple was awesome.
Look, we're not very intuitive.
I taught you everything you know, period.
Yeah, we're not intuitive, man.
But we know how to follow directions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just tell us.
Unless the directions are like put something together. We don't need those.
Yeah.
All right, who else we got?
Gavin Dawson read the fan text. And he was talking about masks.
When did he start reading fan text? He never read fan text.
Last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't done that in years.
Spicy. Bro, that was like a week. Dawson did nothing but rants when I first started working here.
I was
like, you
got to
close that fan text down, dog.
He hadn't read rants since 2010.
Don't even listen to the show. All right, so anyway, it's Gavin Dawson. He wasn't even talking about masks anymore. He changed the subject, but he just so happened to look at the fan text again and reacted.
Do I got any text in here? 214. Well, put your muzzle on and enjoy the show. They're using the virus to take your rights and freedom away. With an exclamation point. This is an actual text. Sir, you're going to shut down the economy. Okay? The forces in the globe, they don't want to stop you from working. Okay? The forces, the conspiracy theory you're talking about, are experts at turning us into worker ants and giving us just enough money to pay our bills and chase happiness, but not really get happiness, because then we'd get off their hamster wheel, okay? It's a form. That's what the global conspiracists do. They don't want to stop us from working. They are the economy makers. They're the people paying the elected officials to make us go back to work, okay? Did you really want me to go there? I will. I need to do a podcast about this. The conspiracy people you're worried about making you put on a mask, that ain't it. The conspiracy people are the ones paying the elected officials to make you go back to work. For the love of God, Google something.
Is that the Gavin Alex Jones?
Yeah. Helicopters everywhere. Pay attention, people. Illuminati, the Bilderberg. The Bilderberg. Look everywhere. Where's my bills?
G5.
Yeah.
Do the black helicopters want us back to work or not?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do?
How can they afford those black helicopters if we're not giving them a piece of our checks?
They want us on that gig economy. Come on, man.
Have you not been listening for the last 10 years? It's a conspiracy.
Will it be Mike Bassick's rant going for two times? Will it be Gavin Dawson's rant? Will it be Sinbad on the ladies or the random councilman guy apologizing for his erratic behavior? Brian.
I'm going to go with Sinbad.
C.A.
Sinbad struck a nerve.
Lucius.
Gavin Michael Dawson. I waited for that little pause to say that.
That's whole name.
I knew it was coming.
But his government name out there.
I'll go with Bassick, which means Sinbad has done it by a score of 2-1-1, and he is our G-Bag of the Day champion. And coming up next, we will have a segment presented by Brian Broaddus. Where are we going?
How about some Heisman Trophy talk? We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Every day at this time, it is time for a segment brought to us by Brian Broaddus, and here he is, the great and powerful Broaddus.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. Appreciate that. Hey, over the weekend, I saw this. Johnny Manziel said that his football career is probably in the past.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Johnny is talking about his football career being, he's at that point in his life where I'm ready to concede that my football career is probably in the past. It's probably over with.
He's not 30 yet, is he?
No, he is not. He is. He's still in his. He's in his late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it kind of just as I was going through it, you know, and going through the story with it, I was thinking, man, what other quarterbacks, say in the last, you know, several years, have had this type of a career or had a bad career or
had the I won the Heisman.
Yeah,
but
I won
play.
The Heisman, but I couldn't play. I'm not very good. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I was really a good college player. Of course, winning the Heisman year, one of
the
best.
He was the first freshman to ever win the Heisman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I was just kind of going through and I went back. You guys, I was going to see if you guys can help me on this because I had some questions about the Heisman Trophy winners and stuff like these quarterbacks. I want to ask you guys some various questions.
I can tell you right now off the top of my head, I'm not going to name the names because you're going to run down your list, but I can tell you there's some Texas guys.
Oh, no. There's
the state
that.
Of Texas
oh,
quarterbacks.
No. There's some. Yeah, I'll start. I wanted to start in 2007, and I'll just go through them, and we'll just, you know, we'll go every year we hit a quarterback, and we'll talk about these guys, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about these guys. In 2007, we had Tim Tebow from the University of Florida.
Turns out if you can't throw,
yeah.
that the NFL is going to be a challenge. Although, I tell you what, let me look this up real quick. I mean, he went to the playoffs.
That Denver game.
He did.
He went to the playoffs.
Denver game, man. Against,
they played the Pittsburgh Steelers
game.
Mile High. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He completed one pass, and it was a slant to Demaryius Thomas
that's
for
all
a touchdown.
He needed. That's all he needed. But, yeah, 2007 Heisman Trophy winner.
8-6 as a starter in the league.
Wasn't he the first one to take a knee? They were calling it Tebowing back in the day.
Back in the day they were. Yeah, I think he was for different purposes, though.
I don't
know. He was praying.
I don't know.
You know about that, Jeff?
Might have been out in front of this thing.
He might have been ahead of the game.
First one.
Okay, how about 2008, Sam Bradford?
Yeah, his body gave up on him. A boomer. You know what it was? He was Sean Lee because he was Rookie of the Year, but he made more money. In fact, I think he had a $50 million rookie contract.
He did. He was the last one.
They
changed the rules after Sam Bradford.
He was always hurt. But you know what his last contract was? $20 million for 1 year with the Arizona Cardinals because he could still play. He's just always hurt.
He thought he could still play.
Yeah. And he was traded for, was it the Vikings who lost a quarterback?
Yep.
And traded a first-round pick for him?
Yep. Because he got the skill set. He's just always hurt. He's glass.
He is glass. 2010, Cam Newton. We've talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
2011, Robert Griffin III.
He did that to himself with his body because, I mean, remember they had to try to hide his helmet from him and stuff? He was always getting hurt because he kept trying to run the ball. He was a great quarterback as a rookie.
He was.
And won the Heisman.
He was Rookie of the Year. Absolutely, he was Rookie of the Year. Okay, with 2000.
Scare people about Lamar Jackson is the RG3 story.
We're going to get into this in a little bit.
What happens if I take your legs away from you?
Can I say one more thing about RG3? He also got real cocky, and his offensive line hated him because he was real.
He wouldn't watch negative film.
Right.
He's like, I don't want to see
He didn't want to see the, okay.
He built a hell of a building down in Waco, though.
Oh, yeah. That's a sweet new stadium. That stadium is because of him. Johnny built that stadium down
in Texas A&M.
But one last thing about RG3, like I said, he got real cocky, but he was always going to these functions in Washington with the owner, Daniel Snyder.
Okay.
So he was not a team guy anymore. They hated him.
Yeah, well, those quarterbacks, when they kind of get off the path, you know, that's something, you know, we've seen that happen here. Okay, we talked about Griffin Manziel in 2012, Jameis Winston in 2013, Marcus Mariota in 2014.
He got his eyes fixed, by the way.
He did get his eyes fixed. Marcus Mariota next year in 2014, Lamar Jackson in 2016, Baker Mayfield in 2017, Kyler Murray in 2018,
Boomer.
And, of course, Joe Burrow from the greatest school in the country, LSU, in 2019. Okay. I'm going to ask you guys these questions from this list.
Okay.
All right, from these guys.
Come on.
Would you draft Cam Newton or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar.
I'm drafting Cam, and this has nothing to do. I love Lamar. And by the way, Lamar was the second freshman to win the Heisman Trophy. Nothing against Lamar. I think Lamar is awesome, but I felt like Cam was more bigger, durable, but then the refs just let him get killed. They let him get beat down. And I also thought, I just thought he was a better thrower. Even though Lamar can throw, people sleep on him. That perfect game he threw, the first game of the season, it was a perfect score. He never ran. People don't even look at that stat. He proved to people, he said, y'all think I can't throw. He threw a perfect quarterback rating the same week that Dak did, and he did it without running one time.
I would draft Lamar because to me, Cam is a 6 to 12 yard run and then take a giant hit, and Lamar is potentially make all of you look dumb.
That's true.
And run for a touchdown.
Just like Michael Vick.
I love Lamar Jackson.
You seen some Cam Newton runs before?
Cam can run.
Big, he's no, a that's beast. What I'm saying. That big
Cam
body
can run.
That big
that's,
body
that's
starts mostly.
That's the only reason I'm picking Cam because of the big body.
That big body's taken enough.
Yeah. That big body's taken. You're right, though. A lot of hits.
I'm telling you, the refs let. Remember the Super Bowl game?
They let him.
Von Miller and D. Ware whooped his ass.
All right. Belichick's going to be so confused this year. He's so used to every time his quarterback's touched, it's a flag.
Right.
He's a quarterback that never gets a flag.
Never gets a flag at all. Okay, Chris, I did this one for you. Best Oklahoma guy, Sam Bradford, Baker Mayfield, or Kyler Murray?
Here's what's so crazy. Kyler.
And Jeff, you too, since you're kind of a.
Allen, Texas, baby.
I know.
Kyler Murray.
Allen, Texas. I would say Kyler because he hit the ground running and nobody saw it coming. Baker got that chip on his shoulder, but he's a very accurate quarterback. Didn't he set an accuracy mark when he was in college?
Baker, I believe, probably. They were both phenomenal statistically.
But
Baker also set the rookie touchdown record without even starting every game in the NFL. So he got off to a good start, but then the Baker Mayfield part of him kicked in, I think, where he's like, yep, made it. Where's my cold beer? Sit on the couch, do commercials.
Kyler, I believe in Kyler. Kyler's the real deal. People took his height for granted, but he's got that.
The crusty scout group would have never drafted Kyler Murray.
He's got that gear, just like Jeff was talking about Lamar Jackson. Yeah. He's got that gear, and they can't see him. The defense can't even see him when he starts running.
He is rare. He really is. Okay, guy out of that group I gave you, out of all those guys, guy I wouldn't have touched out of all those guys I gave you. The Tebows, the Bradfords, the Newton.
Tebow.
Probably Tebow.
He couldn't throw.
I didn't think he could throw it well enough.
He had a little jump pass at the goal line.
That guy's one of the greatest college football players ever to play.
Yeah, he's a hell of a leader. He's kind of like Christian Laettner.
So is Tim Biakabatuka.
Timmy B, he was a good player
in Michigan, man.
And just like Christian Laettner was arguably the greatest college basketball player, he didn't turn into a great NBA player, even though he made an All-Star team.
Akili Smith was balling. Jamarcus Russell was great.
I can't believe you guys just bashed.
Curtis Enos.
Trent
Richardson.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Peter Warrick.
We get it. Peter Warrick is a damn good player, by the way. Mm-hmm. Okay, do-over. Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota?
I take Jameis. I'm still intrigued. I don't care how many picks he throws. I've seen him play really well.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff. And by the way, the 817 is correcting me. And yeah, Jameis was the second freshman. Lamar was a sophomore. You're exactly right. Jameis Winston was the second freshman to win the Heisman Trophy. And I'm taking Jameis over Mariota because Jameis has got a skill set. It's just the brain. And hopefully you can coach that out of him or something. And his eyesight. He said his eyes are better.
So you're all about Jameis Winston there, Jeffrey?
Me too.
Jameis. You know me.
Nobody likes Marcus at all.
Marcus is good, but he breaks down.
Man. So Jameis, when you look at him, it's like, okay.
30 interceptions.
He throws too many picks. But Mariota, if you go look up his NFL career, are you ever going to throw a touchdown?
I know.
Exactly. Was Marcus Mariota a system guy up in Oregon?
That's what they always say about those Oregon kids. They say that about them. Okay. How about this one? How good would a healthy Robert Griffin III been?
Man.
You talked about that earlier.
Man.
How good, Jeff, think about schemes and stuff like that, he was with the Shanahans.
He would have won an MVP.
Yeah.
He would have won a league MVP because I think that's the biggest advantage. That's what Bill Belichick wants right now. It's what a lot of people want right now because football is math.
Mm-hmm.
If I run my quarterback some and that threat exists – unlike what people think happens with running backs where it's like, oh, they put an extra guy in the box for that running back. No, they don't. They don't do that for any team. But they do that. If your quarterback's willing to pull the ball, they have to commit a guy to be responsible for him. And now in the passing game, you've got one less guy to defend. If RG3 never got hurt, he'd be a league MVP.
I agree. And again, if you saw that Cowboys game on Thanksgiving – where he did a show.
Oh, he did.
That's when he knew he could do it all. He could throw, he could run.
Yeah.
But he did it to himself. He's the one that kept wanting to play, and they were saying, you're injured. Stop trying to get out here. And he kept going into the game.
Yeah, he did. It's unfortunate because I think he was doing special things at Baylor, obviously. And then in the NFL, they had a good plan for him other than, man, he just looks so frail, though. It's the body type, which just, it's kind of, I think about that all the time. Okay, the last thing real quick here is, project a career path for Joe Burrow. We haven't seen Joe Burrow, but kind of give me a little bit of an idea what you might see from Joe Burrow.
Jeff?
Ceiling somewhere around Matt Ryan / Tony Romo.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah.
No, it's not bad at all.
No, that's not bad at all.
I think the floor, because, gosh, it's Andy Dalton? he had the greatest season in the history of college football for a quarterback.
Sure did. A lot of weapons, man.
But the year before, if you asked people about him, they'd be like, oh, that kid, he's undraftable.
Oh, we messed him up. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's no question about that.
So, man, I really don't know.
A floor of Andy Dalton's not bad. A floor of Andy Dalton is not bad. He's a 500 quarterback.
You think he's going to be good, Brian? Would you bet on him?
I would bet on him just because I think that he's that guy that likes to work hard at it. His teammates are going to like him. They're going to gravitate. They're going to play hard for him. I think he's going to be really good in the locker room. I just worry about him being really cocky. If things start to happen for him really easy, that swagger he has, is it going to be too much? Maybe turn some people off the wrong way.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Every day at 2:40, we get the segment from Brian Broaddus. Coming up next in the G-Bag Nation, we'll do Cowboys Twitter, including Zeke having a wonderful time on his Twitch stream. It's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.